So we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 22, Text number 3. Kripi Maharaj is meeting with the Kumaras. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Tad Dashano Gatam Pranam Pratyadichur Ivotiha Sa Sadash Sannugo Vainyam Indriyesho Gunam Iva Hatashano Gatam Pranam Pratyadicho Rivogita Sasadashanugo Vainyam Indriyesho gunam ivam Tadashano gadam pranam Pradyadichur ivotita Sasadashanu govenyam Indriyesho gunam ivam Tadashano gadam pranam Pratyadichur ivotita Sasadashanu govenyam Indriyesho gunam iva Him, Darshana, seeing, Bhukatam, being greatly desired, Pranam, life, Pratyadishu, peacefully going, Iva, like, Uthita, got up, Sa, with, Sadasya, associates or followers, Anuga. Offices. Vainya. King Pitu. Indriya Isha. A living entity. Gunam Iba. As influenced by the modes of material nature. Translation of purport by His Divine Grace by Chaitanya Arvinda Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Seeing the four Kumaras, Prithu Maharaj was greatly anxious to receive them. Therefore, the king and all of his officers very hastily got up, as anxiously as a conditioned soul whose senses are immediately attracted by the modes of material nature. Please repeat.
Seeing the four Kumaras,
Prithu Maharaj
was greatly anxious
to receive them.
Therefore, the king,
with all his officers,
very hastily got up,
as anxiously
as a conditioned soul
whose senses
are immediately awakened.
Immediately attracted
by the modes of material nature.
Purport. In the Bhagavad Gita 3.27, it is said, Praprite kriyamanani gunai karmani sarvashah ahankara vimudhatma kartaham iti manyate. Every conditioned soul is influenced by a particular mixture of the modes of material nature. As such, the conditioned soul is attracted to certain types of activity which he is forced to perform because he is completely under the influence of material nature. Here, Prithu Maharaj is compared to such a conditioned soul, not because he was a conditioned soul, but because he was so anxious to receive the Kumaras that it was as if without them he would have lost his life. The conditioned soul is attracted by the objects of sense gratification. His eyes are attracted to see beautiful things. His ears are attracted to hear nice music. His nose is attracted to enjoy the aroma of a nice flower. And his tongue is attracted to taste nice food. Similarly, all his other senses, his hands, his legs, his belly, his genitals, his mind, etc., are so susceptible to the attraction of the objects of enjoyment that he cannot restrain himself. Prithu Maharaj, in the same way, could not restrain himself from receiving the four Kumaras, who were bright by the dint of their spiritual progress. And thus, not only he himself, but also his officers and associates all received four Kumaras. It is said, birds of a feather flock together. In this world, everyone is attracted by a person of the same category. A drunkard is attracted to persons who are also drunkards. Similarly, a saintly person is attracted by other saintly persons. Prithu Maharaj was in a topmost position of spiritual advancement, and as such, he was attracted by the Kumaras, who were of the same category. It is said, therefore, that a man is known by his company. Om Nagyan Smirandasya Jananjanan Shalakya Chakshura Miltandina Tajmaya Shri Gurvi Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Jai Tanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Garadha Shri Vahashari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama Rama So, using it an analogy here, how Prithu Maharaj rose to meet the four Kumaras, just like the, as anxiously as a conditioned soul, whose senses are immediately attracted to the modes of material nature. So usually in these analogies, it's the other way around. Here it's kind of unusual. Usually it's a material example to establish some spiritual point here. It's using the spiritual point to establish a material point. He was transcendentally enlightened, he woke up, or he went to receive the four kumaras, other spiritual personalities. An example, exactly like the senses of a person, when the sense objects come in front, immediately he's awakened and wants to turn. Usually we have the other way around, you know. Just as the sun is situated in one of the sky and it illuminates the entire universe, so the soul is situated in the heart and it illuminates the entire body. Usually that way around we get it, but here we got an opposite way around. But anyway, it's emphasizing the in the purple Prabhupada, immediately starts from Prakriti Kriyamani, how the living entity thinks himself the doer of activities. He's bewildered because they're in actuality carried out by the three modes of material nature. So one who thinks himself the doer without considering the other factors, he's certainly bewildered, vimuratma. So this is the situation in this material world. We are attracted by these sense objects. Actually, since time immemorial, we have these impressions coming from us from time immemorial. When the when the living entity leaves one body, he leaves with his subtle body. The soul leaves with the subtle body. And obviously the gross senses on the body, they're left behind, but there is the subtle senses also. And these go along with the subtle body. So he has that same set of senses, the subtle senses are there. They go along with the subtle body to the next body, and then he begins his sojourn again in another body in the material world. And he's influenced all the time by these impressions from his previous samskaras. Previous impressions are carried along with him, so that influences him to perform activities. So, so when one is bewildered by the influence of the material energy, he's covered by material energy, and prakriti, and then the hankara principle is identifying self with the prakriti, and therefore he identifies himself as the doer of activities. And because of this identification of being the doer of your activities, then automatically you get the impression that you are the enjoyer of your activities, or you are the sufferer of the activities, whatever it happens. So this will naturally follow that if I'm the doer, I'm the enjoyer. So these impressions that are very difficult to give up because they've been with us since time immemorial. These are varying all the time with each change of body. Your senses, your subtle senses are changing, they're varying. They vary. That's why there's 8,400,000 species of life. That's your tastes vary and change, and you get a body to suit that desire, that change. There are 8,400,000 species of life. Why? 8,400,000 desires you can have. Combination of desires. I'll plug this example here. Get the primary colors, red, yellow, blue. Then you make combination of these, so that red, yellow, and blue, and then you can have blue and yellow, and red and yellow, and so the combination, he said 3 into 3 is 9, 9 into 9 is 81. He said, similarly, if you go like this, this permutation, you'll come out to 8,400,000. I tried to work it out, I couldn't do it. I'm not a mathematician, but anyway, Prabhupada said, Because there are 8,400,000 types of desires according to the mixture of the modes of material nature. Therefore, Krishna has given 8,400,000 types of bodies to suit that desire. So there's something waiting for everyone. So these impressions make it very, very difficult for the living entity to see very clearly. Because the main impression is I'm the enjoyer. And then how I enjoy, that I'm always changing. And because I'm not satisfied with one life, I'm not satisfied with my particular senses and my sense objects which I'm enjoying, I'm not satisfied with it. Fully satisfied. You're only satisfied when the soul is satisfied. So we're never satisfied, so then we tend to move. And so slowly you're going through these 8,400,000 pieces of life again and again. And again, universe after universe, it takes a long time. You worship the demigods, and you may worship demigods, you may take birth and birth again and again in Devaloka. Hundreds and thousands of births. But eventually you'll get tired and it's not satisfying. The soul will be something more lacking. That will push you to search for something else in the material world. So they worship these demigods for who knows how long. But then again, after some time, they'll move off and they'll try another demigod and then try another demigod. So it takes thousands and thousands of births. You're moving slowly through searching. And eventually it takes you to experience. You know, like how to enjoy as a worm in a stool or something like that. I'm like, yes, our desire is taking us to all these types of bodies, again and again and again. And that's just one universe, one breath of Vishnu. So from time immemorial, but the basic principle behind this seeking, seeking pleasure is that I want to enjoy. Now, Krishna has given you all these varieties are here. Go to the material world, there's unlimited varieties, enjoy as you like. I give you the world. Prabhupada got a cockroach one time. And they opened the window and said, I give you the world. So I guess we're like that little cockroach. Krishna says, here is the world, throw your head the spiritual world into the material. I give you the world. So then you can have exactly what you want, exactly to fulfill your desire. So, especially this desire to be the enjoyer. These are the main desire, enjoy and control. Because this is Krishna's position. And after all, that's what we want. So this is the underlying desire that we have through any species of life. I'm the enjoyer. This is the main desire. This is Krishna's position. So very difficult to see through this whole illusory energy the way it's worked out. Unless we come into contact with a saintly person, it's practically impossible. See, along with these impressions from previous births, Palade Pitibhushan explains that will come knowledge to support your theory. You may have a theory. The Shastra says you shouldn't do this type of activity. It's simple. You become degraded. But you say, well, I like that. The mind will say, I like that. I like that activity. And because of that desire, along will come knowledge of how to support you in liking this sense object, which the Shastra says is not good for you. But you will get, because you desire it, then knowledge will come along and support that. You have so many good arguments why you should have that sense, why I shouldn't go to the disco. I enjoy it, I get up and I'm there, and my favorite band's playing, and you get so many, knowledge is coming to give support that, and there's no knowledge to not support it. It doesn't give you it. the way of this material nature. It'll give you, it will support you in your desires. So similarly, if you this asa says, no, you go and associate with saintly persons. By their association, so why should I do that? And then you get good reasons why you shouldn't associate with saintly persons. I mean, I went to the Hare Krishna temple, but, you know, I prefer to be down in the pub with all my friends. I mean, from my experience, I'm enjoying that more than... So therefore, the Shastra really doesn't suit me. So you will get this knowledge to support your desires, even though they're against the principles of Shastra. So similarly, if you accept the Shastra, it's good for me. Oh, I should have go and associate with saintly persons and follow their advice. And if you have the attitude and desire to do that, then you will get knowledge and to back it up. Yes, it is a good thing for you. You should do that. You should go. And you won't get any negative thing against it. So you get knowledge to support it, and you won't get any negativity. So this is the nature of this material world. How tricky it is. You think of something that you like, and you'll get all knowledge to support it, and you get and the things you shouldn't be doing, but you like to do, you get knowledge to support it, and all, and there's no negativity. Why I shouldn't do it? So this is how Krishna's fashioned this material world. It's so difficult to get out of this material nature. So everybody's attracted. Maya is there, so powerful, the influence of the Lord. And it's very attractive. It's not although devotees are saying Maya is not attracted. Maya is attracted, that's her business. But why is she attracted? Because she's the smiling face of the Lord. In the universal form it describes in the third canto that this whole material energy is the illusory smiling of the Lord. So this is what we're dealing with. That's all we see. That's all. It's nothing but the illusory, this illusory energy is the smiling face of the Lord. And then it says, his most illusory energy is the Lord's smiling face, and his teeth are the art of affection, and his jaws are Yama, the Lord of death. And Prabhupada says in the purport, and his teeth are the art of affection, and his jaws are Yama, the Lord of death. And purport Prabhupada says, the Lord smiles affectionately, showing his teeth. Anybody who can capture the meaning of this is a wise man. what he's saying is that the Lord smiles, if we see this beautiful, smiling, attractive face of the Lord, something, and she shows her teeth and we become affectionate. It's very alluring energy. And it's if we become affectionate by the affectionate showing the teeth of her smiling face, but what's beyond the teeth? The jaws, Yama, the Lord of death. So this is how we're attracted by Maya, the smiling face of Maya, and affectionate we get on. But Yama is there. So this is the whole illusory show of the Lord. It's so well set up. It's very difficult to see through. Only by association of the saintly persons that we can see through. Therefore here we see that Prithu Maharaj, he has the proper understanding. He's attracted to the injunctions of the Shastras. He should do his duties nicely. He admits that, so he's a strict follower of the Vedas, so he's doing what he should be doing. And he keeps talking about beyond that, the association of devotees. That's all he's talking about practically all these chapters. And now he's actually getting it. He's been talking about glorifying it, but now he's actually getting it. So so attractive, actually, the Kumaras, out of their mercy, descended to see him. So he, now he's personally seeing these persons, but so he becomes, he's naturally attracted, and so he jumps out of his seat to rush to meet them, just like a person when he sees an object of sense gratification before. Suddenly he wakes up. You maybe feel sleepy or something. When a sense object comes that you like, immediately you wake up. So he's like that, he's suddenly awakened. Here is some saintly association, the four Kumaras are coming. So he's become awakened. So this is the business of saintly persons. It's simply to awaken the living entities into their real duty of life. So this is Prithvi Maharaj's great qualification. He's not only teaching them to act according to their different varnas and ashrams and qualities, etc., his citizens, but he's telling them to come to the point of devotional service. He's bringing to the point of devotional service. Glorifying the devotee. And that is coming through the mercy of the Lord and his devotees. So Prithvi is a great devotee. He's giving so much mercy to his citizens that they're completely satisfied. All his ministers, they're completely satisfied. But we've got a right king. Why? Because you're a great devotee. You're accepting the laws. You're hearing the laws of God. And you're acting according, and you're instructing your citizens. Therefore, by this action, we can understand you are a perfect king. So, it's this voice Prabhupada said in a couple of chapters, very nice. Word. Two words. He said, Lord Chaitanya is coming. He's Jeev Jago, Lord, telling us everyone to wake up. And the devotees take on this position. They come to wake everyone up. Prabhupada said, when the sadhu comes, that he, by his, what is it? By his awakening voice, that's very nice of you. The sadhu comes, and by his awakening voice, people are attracted. So somehow or another we become attracted by some sound vibration, generally. We've heard from devotees, we've read Prabhupada's books. Something made you attracted, and you, generally it would be through a sound vibration. The awakening voice. So, and Prabhupada also says in Krishna book, description of autumn, he says sometimes a great acharya comes, and then by his calling, people are attracted. So, this is how we're able to understand the transcendence is. He's coming through the sound vibration from the devotees, these instructions of the devotees. So Prithvi Maharaj is also instructing all of his citizens with with transcendental wisdom and awakening them to the actual real purpose of life. So it's coming from Krishna. In the beginning was sound, it says. Krishna's Bible, isn't it? Beginning was the sound. So we're accepting that also. Sound was manifested. First, then the air, then the ether, then the air, then the water and fire, water, air, down to the gross earth element. But it began with a sound vibration. And Prabhupada gives a nice explanation that in the Fundamental Principles of Material Nature chapter, talking about that creation, how the sound is the, everything is coming from sound. Because it's a subtle form of the the ether, the air, the fire, the water, the so it's all coming from the sound vibration, the whole creation. He says, so similarly, when that sound is purified, spiritualized by Hare Krishna, he said that same spiritual sound vibration can create all your spiritual necessities. Just as it's created all the material necessities that we need, similarly, when that sound is purified, then it would create all of the spiritual necessities that we need. So this is the potency of sound, and especially in this Kali Yuga, this is the Yuga Dharma, it's a sound vibration. So it has such potency. Pretty much has been elaborated in these different chapters. So practically it's like that. We heard a sound vibration, and somehow or another we became attracted to Krishna consciousness. But genuinely we find it was through a sound vibration. We heard the holy name, the Kirtan or the holy name. So of course, the sound vibration is none different than Krishna, so this is a very good thing if we can become attracted to the sound vibration, because Krishna is all attractive. And then we won't be attracted to all this material energy. So that's how important the sound vibration is. Because the material energy is working 24 hours, 24/7, presenting herself, all these different allurements, with all good arguments, with all good reasoning, everything to back you up exactly what you want, 24 hours a day. This is what we're living, the world we're dealing with, because this is what we wanted actually. So it's this sound vibration that can divert our attention from the attractions of this material world. So this is how important it is to hear from the sadhus. Again here now Pritam Maharaj is going to glorify the Kumaras with a sound vibration. Then the Kumaras are also going to speak another sound vibration. And it's all enlightening. Everything that's spoken by sadhus, it's all enlightening stuff. So when we try to become more attracted to the sound vibration, which is Krishna's representative in this age of Kali, then this will save us from the attraction of Maya. Otherwise, Maya is very, very powerful. It's not possible to combat alone. We have to take shelter of devotees, and specifically the sound vibration that's coming from their mouth. This is our protection, actually. Actually, we know it. The only instruction that Guru gives you at the time of initiation, maybe the only instruction you ever get, chant Hare Krishna. Sound vibration from his mouth. Chant Hare Krishna. What is Hare Krishna? Hare Krishna is another sound vibration. But it has such a powerful effect that it can counteract the attractions of Maya, which are so powerful in this world. Yeah, otherwise, actually, what is our hope when we read how we're bound up in this material world? There is actually no hope except the association of devotees. Then we can begin to make advancement in spiritual life. And it's not that Maya actually ever stops at any time, or she's always there to present herself. With folded hands, even for a pure devotee, Maya is there. Bhukti and mukti. They're waiting with folded hands to serve the devotee. Bhaktivinoda Thakur said that the devotees, they don't care. They kick them away. They kick bhukti and mukti away. We don't care for you. Everybody in the world is out chasing after bhukti and mukti, but the devotees, they kick them away, but still they don't go. Even though they're kicked away by it, still they come back. Anyway, we're waiting if you want any service. He was sorry. But the devotees, they don't care. So, The mercy of the Lord is coming through, specifically through the sound vibration, which is a means of service. We chant Hare Krishna, Namaste, we're serving the Lord, or whatever we're doing, anything. We hear instruction, we manifest that in the form of service. So this is Krishna's mercy. He's giving his mercy in the form of service, because we are the eternal servants of Krishna. So that is his mercy, but it's how we choose to receive that mercy that's important. So that's up to each living entity, how he wants to receive Krishna's mercy, because it's available. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has come to make his mercy available. Radha and Krishna, he's come to make service available. He is Radha and Krishna. He's come to make service available to Radha. By service to himself, he's accepting service. This is a very rare thing. But he is making it available. But how do we accept that? How do we receive that mercy? We can receive it in the mood of enjoying it. I get service, I get nice association with devotees, and we've got a nice place, and we get prasadam. So I could be receiving it, the mercy, in the mood of enjoying. Or it's a fantastic philosophy, I can get liberation from this. It's the best process for liberation, actually, the best process for everything. Any kind of city. So we can receive the mercy, but still we're receiving it with that old desire to enjoy that situation. Or we can receive the mercy as, you know, being very, in such gratitude to the Lord that you've so kindly given us an opportunity to serve you. So you can utilize Krishna's mercy to enjoy the facilities, or you can utilize it in a grateful attitude from allowing us to serve Krishna. So if you adopt the favorable attitude, then it will go very quickly. Otherwise, other process is very, very troublesome. It'll always be troublesome, because pure devotional service has to be unmotivated and uninterrupted. So it's a tricky thing. But if we can accept Lord's mercy with a grateful attitude, rather than trying to enjoy our situation in devotional service, this is actually the only way to become satisfied and peaceful. But as you say, it's tricky. Spiritual life is tricky. You see, like Bhagavad Gita, practically, isn't all of Bhagavad Gita. It's all kind of control your senses, control your mind, and develop good qualities, and that's all it, you know. And so much of our instruction is all this mind control, sense control, developing all good qualities. But it all seems like motivation then. We're always asking, how do we get humility? How do we get tolerance? These questions we're asking ourselves, we're asking others all the time. What is the motivation? Why do we want these qualities? Free from the modes of material nature. Again and again, Krishna is saying it very directly. But isn't that mukti? I'm practicing. Krishna says you should become free from the modes of material nature. But that's mukti, isn't it? I become free from all bad qualities. It's a form of liberation. So Krishna says it. You have to see the defects in the instructions also. You have to see the valuable points and also the defects in the instructions. So it's very tricky, like a razor's edge. So it's the attitude is correct. If we have the proper attitude, I'm always being grateful for the Lord to have his service without making demands, then the spiritual life becomes easier and quicker. But so many of these instructions, because we have our conditioned nature is so heavily conditioned that, you know, we had these attractions and get out of the most material nature, become free, become peaceful, become... It's more or less in the mood of, you know, it might benefit, and I'll benefit from this. So it raises edge spiritual life. So we have to go through this step by step, and that's why it's usually a slow process, slow degrees of self-realization, slow process, because of our attachment to still being, holding on to being the enjoyer, even when we come to spiritual life. But we have to see the good part and things to avoid. In time, as we become mature, we have to see things which are unfavorable for devotional service. So, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srimad Veda Bhaktivinoda ki jai, Nitai go premanandi. Thank you, Srila. Thank you. Any comment? Hare Krishna is a message, announcement. At the community hall at 4 p.m., there will be Sankirtan stories at 4 p.m., community hall. Mayapur traveling Sankirtan devotees. Who are number one in the world, Mayapur Sankirtan devotees. Please come, and you can. We get a chance to glorify and hear the Sankirtan devotees.